Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I would like to ask you to stay with me. It's going to be some time of motivation, inspiration, education, and it'll be done with no manipulation. You know that. We don't sell things. We don't try to get you to join up, fess up, give up, nothing like that. Our job has always been and always will be to give you accurate information. Information that I trust will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you're interested and you're able to do that, then you can always orient and adjust to the plan once you discover it. So The Flatline, heard every Sunday here on this radio station, is all about giving you wonderful problem-solving devices found in the Bible. Those problem-solving devices will help you stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. You've heard me say before that adversity is inevitable, and you know that stress must be optional. You see, adversity is what all those circumstances do to you, and stress, well, now that's what you do to yourself. You make those decisions to worry. You make those decisions to be bitter. You make those decisions to be unforgiving and implacable. Those are your decisions. You do not have to live like that. There is a better way to live. It's called the Christian life, the most unique life in the world. It's a supernatural life lived only by means of God the Holy Spirit and the dynamics of the Word of God in your soul. When you learn the Word of God and live by the format that's taught in the Word of God, you begin to have the most phenomenal existence the world has ever known. The Christian life is truly a life beyond your wildest dreams. You know, becoming a Christian is demonized today. Some people try to marginalize the whole concept of Christianity. Becoming a Christian is the single most significant decision you could ever make in your life. Some people put it off until they're near their deathbed. Some people put it off until they're through, quote, sowing their wild oats, so to say. And some people do it immediately once they recognize the need. But sooner or later, every one of us must come to the decision of what think ye of Christ, as the Bible says. Is he in fact the anointed Son of God, or is he not? It's up to you. You must make that decision. You must decide, are you willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not here to defend him. I'm not here to try to convince you of anything. I'm just here to give you the message, what he said. If you want to argue with anyone, you can argue with God about it. I'm just telling you what God says in the Bible. But there is one thing I'd like to discuss today. On our radio show, I'd like to talk about the life-changing experience that some people tell you they have when they become a Christian. Some people will tell you that if you become a Christian, you're never going to be the same person again, that it's like a life-changing experience. And so I want to talk to you about that today. I remember when I personally believed in Jesus Christ, that was a experience that did change my life, eventually, yes, in many ways. But that first month or two, I was so busy trying to figure out what happened and the new friends that I met and the new people I became acquainted with. And I had gone back to school, back to college, back to a Bible college. I had dropped out of the University of Alabama many years earlier where I'd been playing football. And now I was a Christian and now I was going back to school. So a lot of things were happening. But today, let's talk about this. Is becoming a Christian, is, quote, salvation, is it a life-changing experience? I mean, let's look at it this way to start with. There's the physical you. Go look in the mirror. That's you. Don't look too long. You might get discouraged. The physical you. You know, some of us are tall, some of us are short, some of us are skinny, some of us are heavy. But that's us. The physical us. But there's another you you cannot see. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there's an invisible you. It's the spiritual you. It's the spiritual life. You see, you're born physically alive, but you're born spiritually dead. The reason is that Adam's original sin is imputed to you when you're born, and you are now a sinful creature. This is why Christ had to come and die for you and me. He died for both of us. He gave his life as a ransom for us because we were born into sin. And so now, if I'm physically alive but spiritually dead, if I want to have a relationship with God, I've got to become spiritually alive. Because the Bible says anyone who worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, if I don't have a spiritual life, how can I worship God? And Nicodemus was rather confused. He was a very smart Pharisee, and he had some sort of an inquisitive sense about him. And bless his heart, he did come and collect the body of Jesus after it was all over at the cross. But he asked the question about being born again. How could that happen? He misunderstood it. He thought it was physical. And Jesus said, I'm shocked at you. You don't know these things? You see, it's not a physical birth. It's a spiritual birth. So when anyone becomes a Christian, nothing in the physical life changes at all. Your hair doesn't start suddenly growing back. Your nose doesn't get smaller. Your ears don't get bigger. You are the same person, essentially. Your body does not change. But inside, spiritually speaking, that's where the change comes from. You are now a new man in Christ if you are born again. You are made spiritually alive where you were once spiritually dead. So now, instead of just having a body, instead of just having a soul, now you have a human spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you, and you are a new creature in Christ. No one can see it. No one can tell, unless you tell them. No one would even know. I mean, if you went on top of a roof tonight in the tallest building in town, and you got on your knees and said, Heavenly Father, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. When you walked off that building back into the lobby, no one would even know what you did. There would be no change in your countenance. Accepting Christ doesn't change your personality. It doesn't make you all of a sudden a wonderful person that everybody clamors to be around. It doesn't make you sweet and nice. That's not what happens. But what about your old sin nature? The Bible says you have a sinful nature. It's inside of you. You got it from Adam. You were born with a sin nature. The Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh. The flesh is that sin nature. When I become a Christian, does my sin nature change? And the answer is no. You still have sin nature patterns. You still have sin nature trends. That doesn't change. The things that tempted you before you became a Christian will always be the things that tempt you. So what does it happen? What actually changes when you become a Christian? What is it that changes? Well, first of all, when you have a new birth, you have a new spiritual life. You have a new birthday. See, you have two birthdays. Birthday one, that's the day you're born physically. And birthday two, that's the day you're born spiritually. Did you know you're either going to have two birthdays or two deaths? Death one, that's the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And what's death two? Well, the Bible says anyone cast in the lake of fire, this is the second death. And so you're either going to die twice or be born twice. It's up to you. But if you are born again, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to what the Bible says. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He delivered us from the power of darkness, that's Satan, his domain, and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, and the forgiveness of sins. See, prior to accepting Christ as Savior, we were under the influence of the power of darkness. But once we believe in Jesus Christ and once we're born again, once God the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, we become members of the kingdom of the Son. We're members of the royal family of God. We are heir to all that Christ is heir to. We are now a child of God. In John 1:12, but to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he's given the right to become God's children. That's you. If you have believed in Christ, invisibly, you are now a child of God. Invisibly, you have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and you have been put into the kingdom of God's Son. You are now a member of the body of Christ. You are now a member of the church, the body of Christ. That's the difference. It's not physical. It's not something that someone would ever see. Sometimes you'll hear an evangelist tell you that you need to come forward and make your decision public. And that Bible doesn't say that you have to do that to become a Christian. But I grant that many people that do become Christians do eventually let it be known publicly. And if you want to walk forward in a church and say, I've accepted Christ, that's fine. That's not how you get saved. That's what you do since you are a Christian, since you have accepted Christ. You can accept Christ in the seat and never get up and never move and never walk forward and still go to heaven because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have received him as your Savior. Now, you may walk out of there thinking, well, I guess I'm not really saved because I didn't go forward tonight. That's not true. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God, and if you, like so many do in prayer, simply tell the Father, I am believing. I am trusting. I am receiving Christ as my Savior. Just simple prayer like that. You know, why can I say that? Because the Bible says, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It didn't say whosoever went forward, or whosoever raised their hand, or whosoever joined up, or whosoever got baptized. It didn't say that. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should brag about it. So you heard the message. You prayed a prayer in your heart, or maybe out loud, and you asked God to save you. You told him you were willing to receive Christ as your Savior. That changed you. Not on the outside, no, but on the inside. You now are cleansed of your sin. You now are a child of God. And now you have eternal life. Listen to 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony that God has given us. In his Son, we have eternal life. It's in his Son. Verse 12, the one who has the Son has this eternal life. And the one who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Know, K-N-O-W. That is not the word try. It is not the word wish. It's not the word desire. It's the word know. You know it. How do I know it? Because I have the Son. How do I know I have the Son? Because I asked him. I told him I wanted to receive him as my Savior. God's not a liar. He answers that prayer. So now I have eternal life. And that means that if I leave this planet by natural causes or by any other way, I will be face to face with my Father in heaven. I won't have another body like this one. This body is going to the grave. It's going back to dirt. But I will have a body of resurrection, a body like the body of Jesus Christ, my Lord. And that's a body that never grows old. That's a body that never hurts. That's a body that doesn't get sunburned. That's a body that could transport itself anywhere in the universe it wanted to. God has a plan. That plan is to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. He has a new plan for your life. You know, once you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a new destiny, a new plan. Would you like to hear something about that? Jeremiah 29:11, a passage well known. This is what Jeremiah the prophet wrote concerning the thoughts of God. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you future and a hope." That's what God has for you, a future with great confident expectations. Understanding that future and understanding the will of God is a unique opportunity for you, because for once in your life, you can sit back and let someone else do the driving. Sometimes when I'm fishing, and I do a lot of professional bass fishing, and the trolling motor, or the motor that moves the boat when the big motor's not running, the motor that's up front, if I'm up there running that trolling motor, and the guy in the back, all he has to do is just fish. I have to position the boat, move the boat around, and keep it in one place in the wind and not lose my position. But if I'm in the back and he's up front, I can just fish. Guess what? God's running the motor. All you got to do is just fish. Just enjoy the trip. So if you learn this, what I'm about to tell you, you will understand God's will for your life. Are you a new person in Christ? Is there a physical change? Well, the physical change may come later when people begin to recognize the difference in you, in your desires, in your direction. But physically, no, you're still going to get old. You're still going to need glasses. You're still going to get gray hair. You're still going to gain those extra pounds. But spiritually, becoming a mature believer, that's like being Superman on the inside. That's like being able to stand against the forces of Satan on the inside. See, God has a directive will for your life. He has it. He's planned it in eternity past. In the directive will of God, you know that the filling of the Holy Spirit and consistent spiritual growth gives you the ability to metabolize, perceive, and apply God's word for your life. The filling of the Holy Spirit, don't roll your eyes now. That's problem-solving device number two. The filling of the Holy Spirit occurs when you use problem-solving device number one, rebound. When you sin as a Christian, you rebound. And when you rebound, you're filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, Jesus said, He will be your mentor, your tutor. He will teach you. He will guide you. What's He going to use to teach you? Number one, the Bible. Number two, a well-qualified pastor that understands the Bible, that teaches you the Bible, that doesn't stray away from what the Bible says. It's amazing how many men are in the pulpit that are not qualified today. They haven't even... Well, one thing that's necessary is to understand the Bible was written originally in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And at least in the New Testament, any pastor needs to be able to work his way around by using the Greek, understanding the Koine dialect of the times of the disciples and what those words meant then and what they mean now. To be able to look at the manuscripts and see those things that are there in the original, and those things that may have been added by a translator. But understanding the directed will of God means that you, under the filling of the Holy Spirit, take God's word, learn it, use it, and apply it. That's why Jesus said, happiness belongs in Luke 11:27-28. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. That's the trick. Hearing the word of God consistently and keeping what you hear. Hearing the word of God, not just on the weekend, every day. Sitting under the ministry of a qualified pastor every day. Letting him teach you God's word every day. You know, a lot of us have favorite TV shows we watch. There's certain ones that I DVR, I record, because I want to see them. Especially certain fishing shows that come on, and a few of the reality shows that I enjoy. But you know, the most important thing is every day to take in God's word. Every day to find time to sit down where I live, turn on my tape player, my DVD player, and listen to God's word taught to me. That's got to be your objective too. So you will understand the directive will of God. See, under the directive will of God, there's something that he wants you to know. He has a geographical will where he wants you to live. He has a viewpoint will, what he wants you to think. And he has an operational will, what he wants you to do. Until you learn those things and have confidence in those things, you kind of stumble around a little bit. So understanding that God has a place for you, a geographical place where you belong, I can tell you this, it's usually where there's solid, sound Bible teaching. And what does God want me to think? Well, that's called divine viewpoint. That's in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's learning to think like he thought. And what does he want me to do? Well, what spiritual gift did he give you? See, where do you fit on the team? See, some people are the quarterback and some people are the tackle. Some people are the guards. Some people have the gift of pastor-teacher. Some have the gift of evangelism. Some have the gift of giving. Some have the gift of mercy. Some have the gift of helps. Some have the gift of administration. These are spiritual gifts that God gives. And they determine where you fit on the team. If you have a local church with all those gifts functioning, then you have a picture of the body of Christ to the community. And that church represents Christ. Your life is to individually replicate the life of Christ by using those 10 unique problem-solving devices. But there's also a permissive will of God. Here's where God will allow you to go astray. He will allow you to substitute your own volition for his will, his sovereign will. You can use your volition to go contrary to God's will. And under the permissive will of God, normally you will go down the my way highway. God will allow you to do that. And you know, you'll be sorry. Because you'll beat your brains out trying to find a way to turn around and correct it. You'll make so many bad decisions. Remember when the Jews came up to the Jordan River the first time? After they had come out of Egypt and they had gone through the Sinai and there they were. And the spies went in and 10 came back and said, no way, we can't do it. And of course Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. That whole generation turned around and went back into the wilderness until those people died off. And they came back up again to the Jordan River 40 years later. They had to make another decision. Are you willing to go this time? Are you willing to go in and take the land? What is the Jordan River in your life? What's caused you to turn back and not push ahead to spiritual maturity? The overruling will of God may step in sooner or later, because that's the third thing. The overruling will of God is designed for God will accomplish his purpose in spite of what you do. So sometimes God may have to lower the hammer. That's right. He had to give you an attitude adjustment. It's called divine discipline, and it's not fun, and sometimes it comes swift. But it's designed to shock you into reality and to make you realize what a goofball you've been and how you've been going down the wrong road. No one, I repeat, no one can ever know the will of God for their life unless they learn God's word. So you have to understand it. You have to understand the geographical will, the viewpoint will, the operational will, so you will understand your new purpose in living. Your new purpose in living now is not just physical. It's not just to retire and have a nice home and raise a family. It's to execute the protocol plan of God. It's to establish your spiritual life. It's to allow the Holy Spirit to use you and to represent Christ to your generation. You see, you have a new priority now. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then these other things will be added to you. Those are your logistical needs. God has a new plan for you. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and don't let the mighty man glory in his might, and don't let the rich man glory in his riches. Now listen to verse 24. But let the one that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For it is in these things that I delight, saith the Lord. Coming to know and understand God is your new priority now. How can you serve a God that you don't understand? A lot of people know God, don't they? But very few understand the God they know. This show is to help you understand Him, to help you understand His plan and how it functions in your life, and to give you the opportunity to make adjustments. This is my prayer. I'm praying for you. I'm asking God to deliver you, to lead me to people just like you who have a burning, heartfelt desire to grow in grace and to become a mature believer so that you, in fact, can replicate Christ in your life. I hope you're listening. I hope you're learning. I'll be here next week. Same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.